Welcome to Just an Average Citizen, the podcast that helps to educate, inform, and empower you to make an impact in Abilene and the Big Country. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Some of you may know that I have lived in Israel for a season, and we have a lot of friends still over there that we love very much. And so we are wrapping up a lovely holiday that is one of my favorite in the biblical feast, which is Purim, or as they say in Hebrew, Poim. So they say Hag Poim Sameach, which is Happy Purim. What I love about Purim is it is a story of Esther. And while God is never mentioned in the book of Esther, it is a beautiful story about how God hides and protects his people. And ultimately, he's in control of all things, and he takes care of those whom he loves. And so I just think it's a beautiful story. If you haven't read it, it's a great short book to read in one setting. And the best part is you get to dress up and recognize that when God wants to hide you, even the greatest of enemies can't find you. And so it's a beautiful story that I love to read and celebrate this biblical feast during this time of year. But moving on to more day-to-day issues, which is what this podcast is really about, what's going on in our city, I would love it if you could subscribe and share this podcast with your friends and family so they could make sure they know what's going on in the Big Country, because there's a lot of things happening and, you know, we never know when it's going to be something that matters to us. So I'm hoping this will be a great place for you to find as a resource to kind of touch in and see what's going on during the week with the city and what's happened and what's to come so that you can make plans accordingly. And so I think we have some really great things on the agenda for this episode. I wasn't thinking so when I got started, but I realized there's a lot of great new nuggets of information, new levels that we haven't really addressed on this podcast yet. And so I hope you can stretch your brain a little bit with me. So this week I was able to go to my first Development Corporation Abilene board meeting. It happened to be on a day that I actually could attend. And so this public educator went to this corporate America type business board meeting, and I was a little intimidated to say the least. But I have to say I was blown away. You know, I have been doing a lot of work within the municipality part of our city, and this one is definitely a private entity that does a lot of work with bringing things to our city. And I just have to say that the response and the reception I got there was unbelievable. It blew me away. I know that I'm just an average citizen. There's nothing special that I brought to the table, but the way they welcomed me and the hospitality that was shown in just the short time that I was able to interact with them, I was very encouraged, and I genuinely feel like there is a place for me if I want to go back to the next board meeting and learn more of what's going on. It is a long board meeting, so we'll have to see if that works out in the future, but I just wanted to say how impressed I was with the way they do business there, the way they handle people, and I know they're doing some wonderful things for Abilene, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So anyway, it's amazing how even in the midst of me feeling like I've got a rhythm down, I still get stretched and I still have to do things that make me step out of my comfort zone. And what's different, what's hard for some people is easier for others. And, you know, we just always have to find those places where we can walk in that tension to always be growing, learning, and showing up so that we can be a part of what makes an impact in our area, especially for the kingdom of God. So let's go ahead and look at the week in review. There were several meetings on the calendar this week. I was not able to attend all of them. One of them was on my daughter's birthday. And so, of course, it was a special day that we celebrated, so I didn't get to go to that. But the first one that we're going to talk about is the Parks and Recreation meeting. I always think this is a great meeting. It's funny, I have been paying attention to these meetings for over a year now, and I still haven't really ever shown up to one. So I don't even think they realize how involved I am in what they're doing and paying attention to what's going on. And so it's kind of one of those things I realize it's always on a Tuesday morning and I can't go typically to those meetings. And so I feel more invested than they probably recognize that I am. So I have to remember that when I show up to places. So this was a full meeting. Even though it wasn't very long, there was a lot they discussed. And one of the things I wanted to touch base with mostly about this meeting is they talked about the Rose Park Stormwater Project. And so these are things that I am still learning about, and I'm trying to understand how they give this information out, because some of this I was around and I had no idea what they were talking about. And so that's where it's like, okay, where is the disconnect? And What are they trying to do, and how are they communicating these things? So basically what happened is there is an Abilene master drainage plan, and you can see right here that the biggest area is there's 15 along Cat Claw Creeks. So they started in fiscal year 2017. That's what FY stands for. And they had some stakeholder meetings. And all I can gather is the stakeholder meetings are like meeting with citizens who are affected by the areas. And so there are 46 different locations. They have watershed problems when it floods, because, you know, we don't really have an underground stormwater sewage or drainage system there. You can see all the different ones here. And so what they did was they came up with a report in January 30th of 2020. It was brought to the city council. They approved it, and they recognized there were 9 top drainage projects that they wanted to work on. And 3 of those projects were in this pink area, which is the Cat Claw watershed. It was going to take 25 years to implement, and they started in fiscal year 2022. And what I understood is that the fees they collect are about $150,000 a year, which is not very much when you look at this next slide that I'm about to show you, which is the Abilene Master Drainage Plan. So these are projects 2 through 10. Now, he said they didn't list number 1 because it was so expensive. And so the one they're wanting to look at next is the Cat Claw Creek, which is going to be about $1 million. But you can see that only the top 9 projects are going to be $24 million. So when you're talking about $150,000 a year, which I think that's accurate, and I'll have to always double check my work, but I think that's what was mentioned, then it's going to take a long time to get these projects completed. And so they use it from the utility fee that comes off of everybody's water bill, which I think is $2 to $3 on average, the capital improvement projects. So what they have found is that Okay, so this is Rose Park, you can see. This is, trying to look and see if, here is Safety City, if you can see my arrow. And what they're going to work on is getting a better retention or detention water drainage part here, here, and here, because, you know, I believe that is close to, well, that's the areas they're going to build so that when it floods, there's a place for the water to go. And they're going to work on clearing up the levels of the, let me get real quick down here. Let's see, there's one there. So they're going to, so this is, let me show you the best picture. It's down here. They're not going to really work on the creek so much, but they're going to work on improving. I guess that's the best picture. They're going to be improving this grading so that there's more room for the water to go and it doesn't flow back up. They're just trying to keep it from getting a bottleneck when the water really comes in heavy. And so one of the things that I thought was interesting about this is there's always a design cost. This is a thing that I'm learning that I mentioned last time. The design cost is going to cost about $259,000, and that will come from the stormwater utility fee. The construction cost of the project is going to be about $850,000, but I believe when this was started, inflation hadn't happened as bad as it has now, and it's up to probably a million, or I was confused. I don't know if the total between these two is going to be a million. That's where it's hard when you're not in person. But of course, if I was in person, I still really couldn't ask a clarifying question, I don't believe. So they're going to use some of this utility fee, but they have found other funding sources. Because we're in Region 7, which I could show you the map, but that would probably be too much for your brain. We're in the Upper Brazos Regional Flood Plain, and they could potentially receive $726,000 from FEMA that will go to these projects to help with flood control. And so that's good news in the sense that we can find some funding that we don't have in our budget for this, which that's a conversation for another day, because, you know, how do we start managing these resources better? Because that's something that I am still not fully grasp. And so it's hard for me to say, why don't we have the money for these things when I'm still not sure about exactly how things are spent as well as I'd like to. So they have 2 major federal grants that they're going to apply for with FEMA. There's the Building Resilient Infrastructure and Communities grant, which is called BRIC, and they can get about $600,000 from that grant, or the Flood Mitigation Assistance grant request, which is about A little over $700,000. I can't tell. That print is pretty fine. And so FEMA grant has been identified for further review. And they said what's different is normally Texas doesn't get much FEMA money, but because 38 applications out of the lot that has turned in are from Texas, there's a good chance that they might get that, which that would be an ideal situation to help work on that. So this is where I was present and paying attention, but somehow I missed that they had a public meeting. And I believe these are his public slides because it says today is the first public meeting, but it's not today. So that's December 5th. And they're estimating the final design to be in May and June because some of the design fees can be paid through by the grant and the surveys and stuff like that. So they're having to manage their resources well. Or the survey, I think that's what they were talking about. So there are some other things that if they have to replace, like if they have to get a new, if they take, I believe there's a park bench right here and maybe right here somewhere along those lines, if they have to remove those, or maybe that's the picnic table. It's hard for me to tell. They said that they've watched it and nobody really uses this very well. But if they were to replace it, that the grants would cover replacement, but not upgraded materials. The other thing is they're talking about this being very similar to what's over by Walmart on Southwest, where there is a retention pond and or a detention pond, I think that's what it's called. And most of the time they use that for like soccer practice and things like that because it's not always flooded. But when it is flooded, then the water has a place to go. And I think that's the same way as over on the next to the old Lee Stafford Elementary School. There's a big soccer field over there as well that they do something similar with. And so this is interesting that they're going to be working on for the next phases, but they can't start construction until they get the funding sources, which are hoping by June they'll know that. So I thought that was really interesting. Oh yeah, there is the Upper Brazos region. And so we're at region 7 right here. And interesting, I mean, I did know this, but I was reminded of it, that Abilene Rivers, they flow from south to north. And so that's kind of backwards in my brain because you would think everything would flow south, but it doesn't. So that was a really interesting presentation. Again, this is more as addressing it because it was taking place at the parks. Oscar Rose Park. And so it was trying to include the parks department in this so they could know what was going on. And, but it's really the stormwater services that it's doing this. And so they're going to try and keep some stuff without having to replace it if they can, but they're trying to work around it and see what they could do to utilize that space, to make it more functional for different needs, especially during the flooding that comes from time to time here. So the other things I wanted to show you from the parks meeting is, you know, I already got it. The other things, you know, they have different reports. They have the park report, they have the rec report and the senior report and the zoo report. And so at the rec report, they just talked about the new Sears playground being ribbon cutting at the Sears Park. And then they have a couple activities at the rec report. And these are things I think are very helpful to our community. I just don't understand why they're not in a more visible location. The one thing I thought was interesting that I wanted to remind you of, because I've mentioned this before, is they are talking about Lake Fort Phantom Hill Master Plan, and they want your public input. So they want you to come to this meeting on this Thursday, March 28th from 5 to 7. It says come and go. So I'm not sure if you fill out a survey or what you're doing, because they're trying to get more people to respond. And I would love it if we could get some more people to respond, because I believe right now, or the last time they mentioned it, it was a little over 800, maybe 838 respondents had filled out the survey. And it's at the Public Health District building, which is right next door to City Hall. So if you're facing City Hall, it's to the left, right across, right next door, kind of closer to where they build the Christmas tree on that end. And I'm sure there's the conference room that they're going to have it in. I'm not really sure, but I'm going to try to be there. So come join me and bring some neighbors and let's start having some more input and start recognizing where we have chances to have a say in what goes on in future projects, because this is a project that's not going to be happening for a while. And they're using our input now to be able to move forward with some future options when it comes time for that. And when we start to see things happening is when it's too late. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Abilene Housing Authority meeting. Now, this one is one that I'm going to have to go to. You know, it's never at a good time. And I'm trying to put my books in the right place to get it out of here. I'll set it on the ground. There's never a good time for me to go to all these things, but I'm trying to get through them at least to one meeting in person. And what I found is this is actually, it is not a HUD program, but HUD funds this program, and they actually reach, let me move to this slide. They actually reach, I want to say 20 counties in this area that they work with. And so it's not just Abilene, but it's actually bigger. And it works with people who are living less than 80% below, I think, the average income or something like that. You know, a lot of seniors, there's military, there's people who are in transition, veterans, things like that. And so they're trying to help them find secure housing or safe housing. And so I was just browsing around on their website, and I was really not finding much information that was something I thought was interesting to share, except I found a newsletter for February. And so I thought I would just show you. This is kind of information they give out. Scholarships, tell when scholarships are happening. There's a Tarleton State University scheduled for this week for parents. There's a parent-student meeting scheduled at the community center. I don't know where this is. I thought this was as in Abilene. I think it is, but like I've never heard of the Earl Williams community, Riviera community. I think I've heard of the V.E. Brailsford community on Vogel. I guess that's in off of Vogel Street. And they want you to call this lady or call these people and tell them you want to be involved. There's a resident advisory board that's made up of residents from public housing, and they reflect and represent the residents. The role is to assist and make recommendations. And then they have Heart Awareness Month for February. They have their mission statement, which their mission is to serve the housing needs of low-income families in the authority's jurisdiction to enhance self-sufficiency and promote community quality of life and economic viability. Their vision statement is that we will be recognized as a leading authority in moderate and low-income community development activities in West Texas. So then here is their personnel. Gene Reed is the executive officer. Paul Falade, I don't know how to say his name, is the chief financial officer. Terry Jowers, Deborah Hart, they don't have a counselor right now. Tanya Johnson, Veronica Barub, Ali Mitachi, and then Onisimo Almazan and Evaristo. Okay, so I just thought I'd show you. I don't know what else to tell you about this. They have a, I can show you, they have a picture of their staff. Nope, that's not it. Let's see here. I'll go to home. That's it. There's, I guess, all the people that work for them or work with them or their board members. There's not much else on there. The agenda is basically they change the dates and it tells us absolutely no information and there's no minutes available. So it is what it is, you know, until we can start to recognize this is it reminds me a lot of, you know, what they do with the Mercy Clinic. There's probably more federal funding going on with this. So it's probably more of a partnership from a federal level with the community that they're in. And so I'll have to learn more about that. But I learned a little bit, but not a whole lot. So let's go ahead and now move to the airport. Okay. And then I left that there. So there, this is another one that I love this meeting, but there's virtually no information given to you. They basically follow a same system of reports that they go through each meeting, which is great because then you start to learn the order of things and what they're talking about. And I thought this was a really interesting meeting. Let's see here. I'm going to, Oh, I did these out of order. No, I didn't. I went to them out of order. I went to the DCOMA meeting before I actually talked to the airport one. So let me just switch gears real fast here. Okay, sorry. You know, there's a lot of organization that goes on keeping everything straight and neat and tidy in my brain. So, you know, they talked about that the statistical report is that they really feel comfortable with the amount of flights that they're having right now. It's a low season February, but they feel like they're doing well compared to the years prior to last year's numbers. You know, they struggle. He was just talking about the challenge of struggling with the pricing point because our market is not competitive. We're not competing with any other airlines. And so Abilene really doesn't have a lot of rhyme or reason to why ticket prices are the way they are, but they're definitely doing some things to reach out to the Brownwood community and just make sure there's other opportunities for people to take advantage of getting to leave from Abilene. And I highly recommend leaving from Abilene. If your price, your budget allows for it, do it. It is so worth it. There's so much more ease and comfortability going through TSA through there. And, you know, they're just the people, it's people from your community. They know you. It's really kind of fun to get to travel and see people going and coming. They also talked about how finally the fiscal year 2024 budget was passed, I believe, by the Senate. And that included some projects that they needed funded through the FAA and the HUD funding, which has to do with their roads, that they have the way it's set up with their roads. They talked about some improvements that they're making in the restrooms and all these other nominal things. Then they met for executive session. And then I thought this was interesting. Again, I had no slides or anything to see what they were talking about, but they did talk about the future possibilities of what could come into a new airport or a newer airport. And so they talked about the different phases that they would have to go through. They were the biggest thing is it would cost like $102 million to tear down the building, repair it, and a lot of hassle dealing with how do you function in an airport once you're tearing it down and building it back up. Or we could just improve the one that we have, and it would cost about $54 million or $64 million, I'm sorry. Yeah, there was some confusing information given out. I don't know, between $50 and $60 million. And, you know, what they would do is expand over the driveway for the arrivals, and then probably have to expand a road to go in front of that. And then that would allow for positioning of the ticket counters. And there's really no more room for the expand during around the TSA, and it's standing room only in the waiting area before you board. So they really need some more space, and only do that is to come forward. And he talked about some different options to do that with. One other thing I've commend this board is they recognize that you can't spend money that you don't have. And so they are working on saving or increasing the car rental fees to help with funding this. But there's a lot of grants available for the airport to take advantage of. They talked about a terminal grant that they get and setting that aside for this repair. They talked about the infrastructure grant, which is like $1.6 million a year they could set aside. They talked about, two different terminal grants. One was $20 million, one was like $5 million. And so what they're saying is if they went with the rebuild option, it would probably cost the city about $15 million. And so as we all know, money, 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 it has got to come from somewhere. So we've got to figure out how to handle that and what's going on. Oh, and so right now, if you're looking at the screen, you can see this guy's talking. And by the way, his mic is not on. So everything he said, all the discussion he had, no one could hear what they said. And no one was aware of it, and they were just talking as if it was no big deal, which is the hard part about not being present in the meetings, is you don't get to hear things if there are technical issues like that. One thing I'm going to continue trying to figure out how to get them to communicate, I would love it if they would put the name tags up on the top rail so we could see who's talking, because the way they have them set up right now, you don't even know who these people are. And I've tried my best to learn who these people are, but it seems like it's very difficult when it's hard to find easy access to the list of the board members and just who they are. And so thankfully, I know some of the people on these boards, but I don't know everyone. Okay, so I thought that was really interesting. You know, they're also taking a trip, I believe, next week to go see another Forest Services ramp to see how the design is, because remember, they got a grant, which all grants that they're talking about getting are called 90-10 grants, because you have to put up 10% of what the grant gives you. And so there was a Forest Services ramp grant that they were able to get for $20 million, and the city put up $2 million so that there can be a place that is better set up for when there are wildfires and things where we need to be the hub. They can bring their larger planes in and be able to utilize the airport for those kind of services, because some of the other locations are not as ideal because of the amount of traffic that goes to those airports. So it was a good meeting. I'm glad I got to listen to it. There's always interesting things happening. And again, I never thought that I would have as much fun learning about things in the city. But, you know, this, from what I can tell, the airport is not a revenue, does not bring in a lot of revenue. It maintains some of its expenses, and it seems like there's a lot of grants to cover the other expenses, but it is something that is like the zoo. It's like other things in our city that we really need to have, but they don't really bring in the income or the revenue that you need to help do some of the projects that they really need to do. And so that's the tension we walk in because we have limited funding. How do we handle that? How do we decide what's going on? I think he was talking about a lot of the equipment in the building will need to be replaced because it's 20 years old. And the escalators are going to be out of service until further notice because they don't want to invest a bunch of money into these escalators if they're just going to remove them, which I think is the plan when they remodel, because they just are so much of a headache. And there's been so many issues. Even in the short time that I've been paying attention, there's been a lot of issues and hiccups with these parts of the escalator. So there's things like that that are important to know. So let's go ahead and move on to the DCOA meeting. I know I've gone a little bit long here on this, but there's a lot of good stuff that I think we haven't really addressed yet. And so I'm hoping you're learning some new things about how the city works and how they operate. So again, I went to the Development Corporation of Abilene board meeting. And I showed up and I was welcomed so friendly. I was one of the only non-regulars there. There was a couple other people there, but I believe they're familiar faces in this business atmosphere, one that I am not familiar with. I'm just a school teacher, you know, and a homemaker, and I'm not really in the corporate world, but it was fun to be a part of it and hear things. And also, as soon as I got in, they're like, oh, would you like? Would you like an agenda packet? And I was like, sure. And they handed me this. It's like, I don't even know how many pages. It's like 170 pages, 100 pages. Anyway, it was just like, wow, I was really included. I mean, I just thought it was going to be the agenda. I got it all. And I learned that they post it to their developabilene.com website the night before a board meeting. So if you want to look and see what they're about to talk about at their board meetings and you can't attend, that's a great resource. And that's what I honestly find is a lifesaver for me when I can't go to meetings. I can look at their agendas and see what they're talking about and then look at the information they present and then realize that, hey, there's some stuff that I know what's going on and I can talk about it. So one of the things that I found so refreshing about this meeting is it is just different when you're working in the private sphere. You know, my dad ran a business and I'm not going to say I was super involved in it, but I know that he had to deal with things differently than people who work on in the city is what I find. And one of the things that I found so much different about this is that when they started talking about the budget, they were like, you know, we really want to be conservative and we want to make sure we under budget things so that we don't overspend money. And it was just, there's a feeling of we've got to be mindful of what the money is coming in because we, you know, if you don't have it, you can't go over. And so that was really interesting to me. So they talked through this and I'm showing you this budget right here. You know, it's really hard to go through the details, but they explained it. The finance guy, the guy who's in charge of reporting the finances, did a great job of explaining it. And then what I loved, because this is how pieces connect. So they were like, hey, we want to update you on the sales tax. And so you can see here in March, they had a really great high increase of money. And part of that is what we learned at the spring council retreat, city council retreat. Oh, I did it. I'm sorry. I was supposed to scroll up. Is that they had a tax audit refund. And so what happened was, which I love because I was at the retreat and I didn't even know this much information when it was presented. Maybe it was because it was the first time I'd heard about it. But what happened is a company apparently paid too much in taxes and they sued the state. And instead of waiting to an outcome, the state came to an agreement or, you know, I can't think of the right word for that. They came to agreement. And so now the state is having to pay back this company taxes or what they paid in sales tax. And so what happens is somehow Abilene is having to pay back. So I don't know if it's a local company. I don't know what, and I don't even really know where to look, but I love that the DCOA told me more information than I had known before. So it says here, a company received a sales tax refund of $3.1 million from the state of Texas, which has created this tax audit refund. Okay. The city will repay the $3.1 million audit refund back to the comptroller's office over the next 3.5 years. So they're having to pay back $3 million. So I'm not really sure, and this is me just speculating, if it's the total refund is $3.1 million to the state of Texas and we're paying $3.1 million back, then I feel like it's got to be a local company. I'm not sure. So more to look into as I can find it in my free time to look to. So why this matters to the DCOA is they actually are getting part of our sales tax. I think it's 0.2%. I think that's right, of the sales tax, starting in April, they will reduce the monthly economic developed sales tax payment by $18,000 and for the next 3.5 years. And what I loved about this is like, you know, this is not that big of a money, a big of an amount, because we're talking like $15 million. I don't know if it's monthly budget or annual budget, but we're talking millions. So when you're dealing with millions, $18,000 just doesn't make that big of a hit. But they were again talking about how they've been fiscally responsible and how they've managed their budget so that it's not going to be a deal breaker for them, and they're not really having to adjust because they're able to manage through this unexpected crisis, as you should when you're managing large amounts of money like this. So another highlight, again, I was in the meeting for about 30 minutes, and then they went into executive session to talk about some deals that they're working on. And as that happened, we're not allowed to be there, which was fine. And so I sat outside, and they're like, it's going to take a while. And I was like, okay, that's fine. So I had a book and I was reading and got to visit with another gentleman that was there. And, you know, and then, goodness, this lady, I believe she's the assistant economic development person. Her name is Bonnie, and she was so nice. She's like, would you like some water? Can I get you anything? And I'm like, wow, this is like, I don't know what to do with this niceness. And then as I was waiting, she was just letting me know how best to find these agenda packets. She's like, do you have any questions? Feel free to email me. And it's like, I love just the desire to communicate what's going on. There's just an openness and a transparency that, you know, maybe if I dig deeper, I'll find it's not quite that, but I'm just saying I am blown away by the hospitality, like I said earlier, that was shown to me. And she's like, if you have any questions, let me know. And she was just letting me know fun facts, like, you know, did you know that most of the grocery stores in our area actually get their cheese? Now, the cheese is sent to the Great Lakes Cheese Factory. It's not made there. It's just packaged there, but they then package it and send it to our grocery stores. So if you get a store brand cheese, it's actually produced at the Great Lakes Cheese Factory, which I thought was awesome. There's just a lot of little fun things that she shared with me. And then one of the things I was like, man, I just feel bad that I don't really know much about the Development Corporation of Abilene. And then it was brought to my attention that this was voted on in 1989. And I was like, whew, all right, I wasn't even in Abilene in 1989. So I'm not that clueless. But I think many Abilenians don't realize how this plays a factor into what's going on in our city. And there's a lot of great information that I could share with you, but I'm not going to right now, of just the businesses they're bringing in and how they're utilizing momentum to help create a better tax base for us with better companies, not only larger companies, but also small businesses as well. So it's not just geared towards one type of businesses. They're trying to look at the big picture. And Misty Mayo is the CEO, I believe, and she was recruited to come to Abilene. And, you know, I'm not sure I know much about her, except that every time around her, I'm super impressed. And she is a very professional woman. That's the other thing. She, the lady that was helping me, she said she finally got to go to training in Austin to learn about this. And I was like, I didn't even know there was a DCOAs all over, you know? And she's like, yeah, it's actually part of most cities, or it's a lot bigger deal than what we even recognize. And even some cities have them combined with the Chamber of Commerce. But she was saying that when she went there, she's like, Abilene's a big deal. Everybody's like, oh, you're from Abilene. That's so cool. You know, they're doing it right and all that stuff. So I just think it's a great shining spot in our city that we should recognize and see that it is bringing about a shift in how we do business here. And I think it's opening possibilities, even if we're not seeing them as much as we want to, because, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how do we get stuff in the downtown, because we're investing and we're going to be investing so much money in this area. We need some businesses to thrive. And how do you handle that? And I don't know. So anyway, it was a really exciting meeting. Okay, so let me get back on track here. I got a little distracted, but it was just like, I was blown away. I felt like a VIP in a place where I shouldn't be a VIP. And again, we'll see how it goes. If my questions are really welcome, we'll find out, because I'll put them to the test. So one of the things they pointed out was they're trying to, it looks like, maybe do something with a foreign trade zone. And there's some benefits of that. And so you can see that we don't have one right now, because you can still see the triangles are where the foreign trade zones are. There's stuff about distribution, access to streamline custom procedures, and assist in local economic development efforts. And so there's maybe some benefits to that. I have nothing else to offer you besides that, hey, that looked interesting to me. Then I also wanted to talk about a couple of things. They're having some resolutions. What they do is they offer incentives to the company when they meet certain goals, and they get economic incentives. And what happens is they project what the incentives are, and then they pay them out as they achieve them. So Project Haven, I'm not even sure what that is, but they have an agreement that they were, let me get to that section. I just took a couple of quick notes. Oh, they did better than they were expecting. No, I'm not sure. They just had to do a resolution to approve another $300,000 from Project Haven. With the continuing a career technical education training, and it was going to cost $1.6 million for the company, and they offered a $300,000 incentive because it improves wages, helps them be trained better, makes retention better. So that was that seems like a really good solution. The other one they did was with Chike Nutrition, which I know very little about, but I know some people who work there. They had a capital expenditures. They committed to make capital expenditures of $2.5 million, but they actually had to pay $2.9 million, and so they just had to make up the difference for that. And then there's also authorizing agreement with Project Zephyr. I mean, look at us. We're looking at resolutions. Look how smart we are. We're more than just average citizens. So this one was they were making improvements to the existing facility, and they're agreeing to retain 550 full-time employees. And so they just had to work out an agreement for that. So anyway, there's some things that are going on there. I thought that was really cool. And again, I'm learning new things. And so that's always a win-win. All right, so I think that wraps up the week in review. So let's go ahead and look at the week in preview. There are a few meetings going on. I always say there's not a lot, but this week's feels really busy. And it could be because my husband's deciding to go on an adventure to DC without me, and I feel the weight of that, but we'll have to see what happens. I hope he has a great time. So one of the things that happened, and I knew this was coming up, I guess we're almost to the last week of March, so it had to be here. The Visual Arts Jury Board meeting is meeting at the TMP Depot at noon on March 25th, and they're talking about a new artist that they're wanting to design some different projects around town, I believe. Then we have the Fireman Relief and Retirement Fund Board, which meets on March 26th at 10:30 at the second floor finance conference room. Then we have the Abilene Landmarks Commission meeting. It's funny, I already looked at this and I didn't see that for some reason, which meets on March 26th at 4 to 5 on Tuesday at the second floor council chambers. Maybe I'll get to finally go to one of these meetings. And then, of course, we have my favorite meeting of the week is the city council meeting on March, favorite meeting every 2 weeks, which is March 28th at 8:30. And they have probably a lot of good things they're going to be talking about on that meeting, but I've not looked at it yet because I'm having to record this a little early because my husband's going to DC for the next few days. All right. So, but I also wanted to remind you now, it's funny. If you are graphically oriented, you're probably cringing at this picture. I zoomed in on a slide that they put on the presentation for the Parks and Recreation board meeting on Tuesday. It's a public design studio at Lake Fort Phantom Hill, Thursday, March 28th from 5 to 7, and I hope you'll come and add your input. It'll be at the Abilene-Taylor County Health District building from 5 to 6. It's come and go. They're going to talk about lake amenities, park improvements, and big, bold ideas. So I hope you can make time to attend that because we've got to start making sure our voices are heard, even in the little list of ways that they are offering to us. So I hope that makes sense. I'm getting close to having done this for a year, and I've been processing and trying to understand exactly what it is we've accomplished, because some days I don't feel like I've accomplished much, but that's okay because I think there are some milestones that have been hit along the way. And I hope as I get closer to the year anniversary of me really sitting down and going, okay, we can do this, that we'll be able to see some actual real results of what we've accomplished over this last year. And while I haven't been doing the podcast for that long, I do hope that you can start to see there are ways we can begin to approach this and eat this elephant one bite at a time. So it would really help me if you would subscribe and share this with your family and friends so they too can learn how to start taking one bite at a time, because clearly it takes more than just an average citizen to get our feet wet in this and to understand what's going on. And so we need all hands on deck. So that really helps me out. But I'm so grateful you've been willing to spend some time with me and learn how you can be educated and informed so that you can be empowered to make an impact in Abilene and the big country. Until next time.